Hello, faithful listeners, and welcome once again to Checking the Gate, a film and religion podcast. This is episode 13, where we will be discussing David Wayne's religious-inspired comedy, The Ten, and in TV Corner, the 23 years and counting Fox classic, The Simpsons. My name is Michael M. Patty.
And I am Robert Reitz-Desco.
And let's jump right in, shall we?
Let's shall.
The film we're talking about today, as I said before, is The Ten, directed by Northeast Ohio native, like Robert and I, David Wayne, who was a member of the sketch comedy troupe The State from MTV. Before we get into the analysis of the movie, what little analysis there is to be had, more on that later. I'd like to talk about my personal experience with how I first heard about this film. As I mentioned, David Wayne, the director of this movie, he's a Northeast Ohio native, and while I was earning my film and digital media degree at Cleveland State University, he was part of a panel who came to talk to a bunch of students over a weekend, and I made sure I went to see that. I think his only film at that time was Wet Hot American Summer, which is kind of a cult classic now. It has a bevy of people you've heard of. Paul Rudd, who is also in The Ten, Amy Poehler, Christopher Maloney, Jeanine Garofalo, David Hyde Pierce, a whole lot of people that I cannot think of right now. So he was known for that and also for The State. And he came and talked about his new movie that was coming out, The Ten, and it was loosely based on The Ten Commandments. And it had Winona Ryder, who had been arrested and I think sentenced to probation or community service or something for shoplifting.
Was that in research for this movie? Because
they hired her for the movie because of that, and she was a good sport and did it.
Yeah, because her bit was on stealing.
Was Thou Shalt Not Steal was Winona Ryder's story.
Anyways,
that's about it. I saw him talk about this movie, and it did not get a huge release. I'm sure I could have gone to the theater to see it, but I didn't. But when it came on DVD, I got it from Netflix as soon as I could and watched it and enjoyed it. I remembered it, and I thought, let's lighten things up and talk about this. It's been a couple of years since I've seen it. I knew Robert hadn't seen it, and I thought he would like it.
Turns out I did not.
He did not.
Well, Mike, you finally get your revenge, because
There have been a couple, like that Babylon 5 episode.
Yeah, you just totally hated some of this stuff. So turnabout is fair play. We're even now.
And
so.
And to be fair, I did not say, oh, we have to do this. I don't care. I genuinely thought Robert would enjoy it because we both like Clerks and Clerks 2, and we have, you know, we both like Monty Python. We both like a lot of the same funny stuff, and it has the same sort of deadpan humor. It's got some raunch in it. It's silly, it's perverse, and I thought you'd like it. It's short. It's 96 minutes.
Yeah, with the Kevin Smith movies, he has, like, potty humor and stuff, but he has a purpose to it. It actually moves the plot forward, you know, like 30,
most of the time.
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
Or it's the end of his movie. It's what it's building up to, like, you know, the donkey show at the end of Clerks 2. But he doesn't show you anything, which is, you know, he does that horror
still
movie.
Still happens.
Yeah, it's the horror movie thing. You don't see anything that happens, and what happens in your mind is much worse than probably what would have really happened.
So let's take this opportunity to, we talk about in Kevin Smith movies, it builds up to, you know, it serves the plot. This movie doesn't really have a plot per se. The structure of the film is Paul Rudd's on a plain black stage with giant CG replicas of the Ten Commandments behind him. And
the joke is he lives there.
Yes. Yeah. The joke is he lives there after he's broken up with his wife, Famke Janssen.
From X-Men.
Among many other things, yes.
Yeah.
X-Men, don't say a word.
Anyways.
She's barely in it.
Yeah.
And he is speaking to the camera and at the same time having his relationship problem and addressing the audience and showing a story based on each commandment. And over the course of the movie, eventually characters and themes start to recur.
Yeah, it sort of emerges as it goes along.
Yeah. It's like the opposite of a Monty Python movie where there's, like, say, The Life of Brian, where there's one plot and everybody plays multiple parts. It's the exact opposite. everybody plays one character in multiple unrelated stories.
Right. It builds.
It's got a lot of people, again, a lot of people you've heard of, just like Wet Hot American Summer. Oh, and I never finished. And he has since gone on to direct, since the 10, Role Models and Wanderlust, which just came out this year.
Okay, so. Paul Rudd was in Role Models.
Was in both of those.
Oh, yeah, it must be his...
Yeah, they're buddies.
Yeah, sort of like Scorsese and De Niro, and then DiCaprio, Kurosawa, and Mifune.
I don't know who those people are. Just kidding.
I thought you just said you went to film school.
I said I was enrolled in film school.
Anyways... Yeah, let's go through vignette by vignette. By the way, these are not proper order. Did you notice that?
No.
They are not in the proper order.
I went to film school, not religion school.
Oh, okay. You go to Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5. Those are the two places you have the Ten Commandments. Yeah.
Wouldn't that make them the 20 commandments?
No, it's the same thing over again. You'll find that a lot in the Bible. They'll say it once, and they'll say it again just to make sure you get it.
What am I, 5?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Jesus said, you know, we should be shepherds. He tells Peter, feed my sheep. So basically, we're sheep. We're dumb, and we need to be told what to do multiple times over and over again. That's just the way we are. You can't argue with me, because if you've lived in this world, you know that that's the way we are.
If you've had coworkers.
Yeah, yeah. Or if you've managed people and tried to tell people what to do.
Yes, managed or shift supervised.
Yeah.
Which we both have.
Yeah. Anyways, so God, the great shift supervisor, gave us these 10 things to do.
These 15. 10 commandments.
And we still can't do those. I think that's kind of the point of this movie, is we're so stupid we can't even do these 10 things. It uses hyperbole. Just everything in this movie is just so outrageous.
Right. And I was a little worried while I was watching it, like, oh, God, we're going to get through this filthy movie, and there's not going to be anything we can talk about. But I think we can. Like I told Robert before we started recording, the content itself isn't religious, but the fact that they did a movie based on the Ten Commandments as opposed to just having 10 raunchy vignettes, I think is important.
And what's interesting to me is it focused mainly on sort of Christian conventions and the way Christians view the Ten Commandments rather than the way Jewish people view the Ten Commandments. So,
can you shed some light on that? Because I'm not familiar with how Jewish people's...
I'll get to that when we get to the last vignette, the one about remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I'll make my point then. But,
okay.
But like in the first one about the guy who falls out the airplane and then people who copycat him... because they worship the guy. I didn't think that was all that funny, but I could see how it was setting up the rest of the movie.
Right. It introduces a lot of the other characters, like the newsman and Winona Ryder.
The doctor.
The doctor. That was probably the least funny of, and it goes on too long.
Well, when did this movie come out?
So
this
was 07, 08.
So this was during like the big reality TV boom.
Yes.
So I could see how it's still a sort of valid... a satire of the way we pay too much attention to like Jersey Shore and stuff like that. It's really just not important at all. And we invest
Jersey Shore's
so
not in... important? Get out of my house.
I'm sorry. See, that's what they're talking about. The second one was taking God's name in vain. I don't even remember what that was about now.
It was Gretchen Mol going to Mexico and hooking up with the second coming of Jesus.
Yeah, and he's like
Jesus Cristo, who hasn't gotten around to bringing Armageddon yet.
Yeah. That was kind of funny.
And did you notice in the funeral home later on the portrait of Jesus was the same actor?
Yeah. Maybe I just wasn't accustomed to the humor yet, but I saw the guy, he looked like Jesus, say, "This is Jesus." And I took Spanish, so I kind of read the subtitles, but I kind of just understood what they were saying. So I was getting into the Spanish part. I sort of missed the fact that this guy's blatantly Jesus Christ. You know, he's a carpenter. And it wasn't until he walked on water, I was like, oh, duh. And I just felt dumb at that point. So
anyway, he is supposed to be actually Jesus, although he doesn't really act like it very much.
No.
He gives a one-legged handcart driver a too short prosthesis.
So he's still hopping around.
Still hopping around.
Yeah, that's the kind of humor. And by this point, I'm starting to get used to the humor. So, and it's, I could see, okay, they're using ridiculous hyperbole to get their point across. But by this time, I was sort of getting it. And like the next one was, number three was Thou Shalt Not Kill.
Yeah, which they said Thou Shalt Not Murder.
Yeah.
I did notice that was different.
Yeah, there's a whole a theological debate about whether it's kill or murder, and it gets into ethics, but that's neither here nor there for our podcast. But my question was, what is Liev Schreiber doing in this movie?
What was he doing in Wolverine?
I know, I thought of that, too, which kind of made my...
He is not a world-class actor. He has not won any Oscars. He can slum it.
Yeah, I mean...
I didn't think that was... Seeing him in this was a problem. And he's really funny in it, too.
Yeah.
When we get to his sketch about the CAT scan machines, and he's... I'm not going to say it, but the phrase he repeats over and over again is just delivered perfectly.
Yeah, he... That was probably the funniest one, because it was the most ridiculous. When it got to, like, the next one, you know, Honor Your Mother and Father, that one was funny. Or with the
with the kids and Oliver Platt,
yeah, he's being like Arnold. Your dad's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they're like,
you know, you don't have to do the voice if you don't want to. And this is in the funeral home after the guy they think is their real dad, who is a white guy, dies. They're in the funeral home with their mom, and there's a picture of Jesus who looks exactly like Jesus from two shorts ago.
Yeah. So after the guy dies, these two African-American twins say to their mom, so who is our real dad? And she's like, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. And they're like, that doesn't explain this. And she's like, yeah, I'm really sure it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I could see how they were with the picture of Jesus and everything. I could see how their stories are starting to tie together at that point. That was kind of funny. But also the tablet room vignette that started that one off where he's talking with his friends Abe and Scotty. They're talking about the things they do to kind of get through life and the lies they tell themselves. And the one guy says, oh, I just take a pill and I feel better. You know, it's sort of these things we do to kind of fill the holes in our life instead of, you know, looking for faith to really... that we can grab onto, and you know, we sort of anesthetize ourselves to life and just try and make two and get through, which I thought in just a few short sentences they really nailed and got. You know, I thought that was funny.
So you didn't hate it?
I didn't like it. Okay. We'll get to the part that I really didn't like.
But
the next one, the one about thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's property.
That was good.
Because it was over something ridiculous, like,
yes.
Oh, I can't believe you bought
a CAT scan machine.
And so
I'm ordering two.
Yeah, and so, like, every time they see their guy bringing a cat, they gotta bring in, like, two more. And it was totally, utterly ridiculous. Like, who does that? It's not even a thing. And then what made it even more ridiculous was at the end where...
They needed them.
They, like, these kids go to a nuclear reactor... on a tour, and they get an accidental dose of deadly radiation. But explain to me how a CAT scan cures you from radiation poisoning. Why they had to go and get... The joke is the CAT scans were going to save them. And
they were going to see which ones of the kids had been exposed to deadly radiation. It turns out all of them.
Yeah, and they all end up dying. But the joke is, like, the CAT scans would have saved their life if they could get in the house. But the two guys who were fighting decided to make up and be friends, and they're going having a drink together, and they're laughing it off. And then they see the news, is like, I think I better head home. They see all their kids dying.
The moral of the story, never settle your differences.
Yeah. At this point, the humor is starting to grow on me. I'm starting to like the movie. And then we get to the next one. About you shall not cover your neighbor's wife.
You didn't like that?
I thought it was completely distasteful.
I thought it went on too long, but I was amused by it because it was supposed to be funny, and it was ridiculous and over the top.
Yeah, I thought it was horrifyingly distasteful. You know, listen to our episode on doubt, and you understand my feelings on that. But, you know, a 10-minute joke on anal rape, I think, is going a little long. Prison rape is a little too much for me. It just kind of made me want to puke.
It was so stereotypical.
It was done sort of like a Nicholas Sparks movie. And that was the joke,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They were talking about rape, but they were really... They wanted to be in love.
Let's move on to the next one.
Okay.
We?
Okay.
Well, like, this one was Thou Shalt Not Steal. Or...
Oh, that was my favorite.
Yeah.
This is the one that Winona Ryder's character, who had been in a couple of the other sketches, steals a ventriloquist dummy and then proceeds to fall in love and have romantic relations with it.
Yeah.
And ends up driving away with it to start a new life.
Yeah, her fiancé and the guy who owned the puppet were like, bye, see ya, have a nice life. They were like okay with it, which is yeah. The joke. So.
And the joke is also she was a shoplifter in real life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, was a good sport and bless her heart. Did this movie and made fun of herself. I think that's great.
Okay, see, I didn't know like the chronology. I thought was she researching this role when she got caught shoplifting? But
no, that was in real life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a story I heard. Was she tried to get off by saying, "Oh, I'm researching a role that I'm doing," and she
that was a lie.
Okay, then the lie became the truth then, because it set her up for this role.
Yes,
it's weird how things work.
Art imitates life.
Speaking of lying, that's the next vignette, the cartoon about the rhino.
Yeah, I think the less said about that, the better. That was kind of the weakest part of the movie
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, it was a dumb and double offensive version of The Boy Cried Wolf.
Yes.
And it's not funny until, like, the ending credits.
Yeah.
When they sing the song.
Yeah. My favorite thing about that was hearing H. John Benjamin, the voice of Sterling Archer, as the rhino.
Oh, really?
Probably not a lot of our listeners watch Archer. That's
yeah.
Okay. I've only seen it a few times, but it's all right.
Yeah, I don't watch a whole lot of FX.
What number are we up to?
Yeah, then number 9. What was number 9? I didn't actually write it down.
What's the commandment? 9 was adultery with Paul Rudd and
Famke
Janssen.
Yes, that was actually funny.
That was interesting, and that was over too quickly.
Yeah.
Because they had spent so much time building up to it. You finally see them off the black soundstage. He had been hooking up with Jessica Alba and cheating on his wife, but then they got back together. And before they could have some more makeup relations, he had to break up with his current wife, who he'd run off with, Diane Wiest, who does not appear in the movie.
And he like just nonchalantly breaks up with her over the phone.
Yeah, and she seems okay with it.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, yeah, we're back together. But you know what? The sad thing is, that's not too much of an exaggeration.
You've broken up with Diane Wiest, and you know how it goes?
Yes.
Okay.
No. But yeah, in my experience, I've seen marriages break up like that. Just for stupid reasons, and people just sort of, you know, go their separate ways. There have been books written about this, about the so-called starter marriage. Like I said, this movie is hyperbole, but sadly, sometimes that's how, you know, divorce and adultery is handled. It's like,
yeah.
All right, well, we'll just let it go. But I kind of know of people who fight for their marriage, even after infidelity and stuff, which is good. But
infidelity or fighting for it? just kidding. I know what you mean.
Let's hope our podcast listeners know what I mean, too. Number 10 is Remember the Sabbath Day, Keep It Holy.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure how to feel about this. Instead of keeping holy the Sabbath day, a bunch of guys take it upon themselves to just hang out naked instead of going to church.
Yeah.
The point that they make is that keeping holy the Sabbath day doesn't mean just going to church every week. It means being true to yourself and resting however you feel most appropriate.
Right. This is what I was talking about, the difference between the Jewish definition of keeping the Sabbath day and the Christian definition. The Christian definition is dressing up, going to church, eating lunch with your family. It's a ritual that all these things you have to do. In the Jewish culture, it's not doing anything. It's resting, relaxing. In fact, in biblical times, they had all these hedge laws, like you can't pick a grain of wheat because that's doing work. You can't walk so far. Because that's doing work. You have to stay home. And so what they would do to get around that, where's home? Well, home's where you hang your hat. Well, they take like 3 hats with them. They go the mile or whatever they were supposed to walk, put their hat down, walk another mile, put another hat down so they can get to where they need to go on this. You know, this
fascinating.
So 10 gets to the point. What are these laws and why do we keep them? And so, amazingly, after all this raunch and sort of almost distasteful humor, we get to the musical number at the end, and it's all about love. You know, probably not the way they mean it. They're probably a little more like a hippie, like, oh, this love, you know, all we need is love, Beatles kind of thing. But
nothing wrong with that either.
When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? The Pharisees had asked Jesus a question trying to trap him. He'll say, like, number 5 or number 8 or whatever. And then they say, well, what about this other commandment, which, why isn't that important? Instead, Jesus says to him, the most important law is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the other commandments are wrapped up in these. And like, okay. They couldn't argue with him about that. So, and that's the point of the movie in the end. You know, they sing love really loud.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting, and this might be a good segue into our TV corner, but there was also an episode of The Simpsons where Homer did the same thing. He stayed home from church, danced around in his underwear. So, yeah, why don't we go to our TV corner now?
Okay.
So we're talking about The Simpsons today, and I have to admit, you said it was on for 23 years now?
This is its 23rd season, and it has been renewed for 2 more.
I probably have not watched it for about 13 years.
Wow. So. I still watch it every week. To be honest, I did not re-watch any before we recorded this, because there's been 512. And a lot of them kind of run into the background, so I went to Wikipedia and a couple other websites and brushed up, and
yeah,
pretty much I get the feeling this is going to be a lot like how we did Futurama, where we just rattle off a bunch of the references that have been on.
To be fair, there has been so many Simpsons. I think the only two series that have had more episodes is Ultraman and Doctor Who. So we're just kind of going by what we can remember.
Yeah. One of the big reasons that we were able to pick this was because it's one of the shows, the only one I can think of off the top of my head, that the main characters actually go to church and it's shown on screen. There have been many instances where they don't always adhere to what they've heard in church. I remember one episode where they get home from church and Bart and Lisa immediately start taking off their Sunday best. And Marge asks them what they're doing, and they're like, it's Sunday after church. This is the time where there's the most time of the week between now and when we have to go back to church.
It's the best time of the week.
But they do go, and they do listen to sermons by Reverend Lovejoy. That's probably not the best impression, but it's the best I can do. He's not even the most religious character on the show.
Yeah, that would be Ned Flanders.
That is Ned Flanders. And despite Homer's picking on him, Ned puts up with a lot.
Yeah.
And for being a religious fundamentalist, Ned is very tolerant of a lot of things.
Yeah. Looking on Wikipedia, they said Lovejoy's become sort of more intolerant to kind of reflect the times as the show's gone on in the last 23 years. He's become more intolerant of Catholics and Catholicism. There's one he tried to kidnap Bart so he wouldn't become a Catholic. And
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I just saw this on the Simpsons Wiki. We'll have some of these links up there on the website so you guys can find them. But I like the one where he lost his faith and he was telling Marge about how he came to ministry and he was all gung-ho, and then he met Ned. And Ned kind of wore him down. You know, he called him up. He's like, Pastor, I think I'm starting to covet my own wife.
Have you thought about one of the other religions, Ned? They're all pretty much the same.
Yeah. And then he's like, and then it was just one day I stopped caring. By that time, it was the 80s and nobody noticed.
I remember that.
But he gets his groove back by fighting off some monkeys on a train
at the zoo. Like a train car, yeah.
Yeah, and he's telling the story during the sermon, and the monkeys came at me, and I fought them all off. And
is that the one where Marge says, "Come on, Ned, knock that monkey down"?
Yeah. And they're like at the edge of their pew, their mouths are open, and they're all staring at him, and he's telling the story. So, yeah, sometimes we have to do it. Reverend Lovejoy does, you know, he has the sound effects button. There's people are falling asleep, and it's like, caw, caw.
This has nothing to do with religion, but I like the one episode where Bart switches the organist's sheet to play "In the Garden of Eden" by Iron Butterfly.
Yeah.
17 minutes later.
Yeah. She keels over on the burn. That was the best. And I like what Homer says. "Hey, Marge, remember when we used to make out to this hymn?" She giggles.
I like how Homer always calls priest Jeebus.
Oh, yeah.
That's amusing. Crazy Homer. Can't even... goes to church every Sunday, can't get Jesus right.
Yeah. Remember the one where he became the bodyguard?
No.
And he was training, and the soldier was like, "You have no mother, no father, no Jesus, and you're not praying to Muhammad." And he's like, "Not even on Ramadan?"
You do a good Homer.
Don't!
I like the one like holiday special that Krusty's doing. "We want to thank all our viewers and wish them a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwesi Kwanzaa, and a very solemn Ramadan." Another thing I read...
Krusty's Jewish.
Krusty
show,
is
yeah.
Jewish, and that's what I was going to bring up. They don't just have non-denominational Christians in Springfield. They have Krusty, who's Jewish, and his dad, and I guess one of the nursing home guys, the one with the long beard, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I never picked up on that until I read it today.
No. Oh, great marriage, he ain't what she
No, that's the
be.
Crazy old man.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about Abe's friend in the nursing home with the long beard.
Okay. It's been a while.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I can't remember like all the, you know, tertiary characters in the show.
Apu, who's a Hindu.
Yes.
Lisa's a Buddhist.
That's right. Yeah. So
you'd hardly see her practicing Buddhism, but
You got there was a whole episode about that, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So yeah, there. So you have an accurate representation of like the major religions.
Yeah.
And how they sort of mesh or clash in
mostly
America
clash.
Today.
Mostly clash.
Yeah.
They mostly pick on the hypocrisy of, I don't want to say organized religion, but the hypocritical practices within religion as opposed to faith.
Right. Like there is one, I think there was like a holy roller or something in town, and the guy asked Bart if he had found Jesus, and Bart's like, "Well, I was just going to live life to the fullest and have a deathbed confession at the end." And the guy's like, "Yeah, you can do that, but we try and keep that on the down low." You know? So, yeah, it does the job of satire, which is kind of poke us where we're kind of weakest and say, you know, maybe you should ought to think about that, which is kind of what the 10 does, too.
Yes.
But, you know, Simpsons does it a little more tastefully. And
and 20 years ago, who would have ever thought that The Simpsons would be considered
still
tasteful?
It would still be on TV. You know, who would have thought
too.
That?
That too.
So I think probably one of the funniest things they did was Bart did something and he's like, this doesn't matter in the long run. And they cut to like 1,000 years later and there's like this religious war, you know, starting over, you know, the Church of Bart, and one side says, "Eat my shorts," the other one says, "Cowabunga," and they go to war, and that's how the episode ends. Listen to our Book of Eli episode and how we feel about religious wars and stuff.
They're usually bad.
Yeah.
Avoid them at all costs.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't start them. Don't give religion a bad name. Religion stops wars. It doesn't start them. But yeah, we've had a year-long run now. You know,
oh, yes.
We've talked about, like I said, Book of Eli. We've mentioned our Doubt episode.
Yeah. We've done a lot of sci-fi, probably more than we should have.
Yeah, but I think that's interesting because a lot of the movies that are coming out now that they market as the big blockbusters are the sci-fi movies.
Right.
You know, if they have maybe a religious undercurrent or maybe a secular theme that may say something about religion, I think it's valid to look at.
You can do more sort of analogous stuff with religious themes in a sci-fi movie that you can't get away with in a straightforward narrative. It's easier to be, I don't want to say satirical, but...
More like a social commentary?
Yes. Like Twilight Zone episodes were about communism or getting too much power. And sci-fi movies, a lot of times, you can work in other... Like, for instance, Prometheus coming out this summer is a big sci-fi movie. It looks like it's going to be related to the Alien movies, but it's about the search for the creation of life.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. If you made, like, a straightforward movie about creation, like say, Expelled, the one that Ben Stein did, you probably could say more about it through fiction than you could through a straight documentary.
Right.
Here's my thoughts on how this show has kind of evolved since we started. We kind of started just looking at the themes to see different perspectives on these movies. Me, I could speak from a Christian perspective and say, well, this is what a movie or a filmmaker might be saying about Christianity or about another religion. So I might be able to relate to a movie like Persepolis, which, you know, has a lot of Islam culture in it, and it helps me understand that religion better. Or looking at, say, the Godzilla that we did a few months ago, you know, understanding the Shinto Japanese religion a little better.
Or Red State and looking at how cults operate better.
Right. But that gives you a perspective on how to relate to that. And for Christians, you could use this to generate discussions with people who might not be Christians and be able to dialogue instead of argue about things. And I think the tendency for Christians is to argue, like, you're wrong, I'm right. Even though that might not always happen, those are the things that get picked up and put in the media and the movies and stuff. We're really, we all try to be reasonable and discuss things and celebrate our differences rather than, you know, go to war over them. So, and I think that's the focus for me going forward, is trying to relate the Christian perspective on, okay, how could I relate to the world as a Christian, rather than just look at a movie and say, well, I find this offensive, I'm not going to watch it, neither should you. I found parts of the 10 offensive.
I found parts of the 10 offensive, but I remembered it was just a joke, and I got over it.
Right. It's like the theme song of MST3K. Just say to yourself, it's just a show, you should really just relax. We sometimes take things too seriously, and some things we don't take serious enough.
And in that vein, we'd like to introduce a year's worth of outtakes.
I don't think there's too much to say about these, then. Just enjoy the ride.
Because we sure did.
Yeah, the first part, we have the music that we always play to set up the TV corner. Well, I edit those in post.
Yeah, we don't play that live. In real life, what we do is we say, okay, now here's TV corner. Okay, now here's TV corner.
But sometimes in the middle, we have a little fun and sing our own little theme songs.
Yes.
So that's going to start that off, and then we'll follow by our stutters and stops and sides and everything. And then next week, we'll continue our anniversary celebration.
Yeah. But with more like deleted scenes rather than outtakes.
Yeah,
today's the gag reel. Next month is deleted scenes.
Right, bits of conversation that we just didn't have time or cut out, or were too tangential to be part of the real conversation.
So hopefully you've been listening to every episode and can figure out what goes where, and because we're not going to introduce them, it's just going to be a clip.
So here you go. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Now, to the TV corner.
That needs some theme music.
Yeah, I'm going
to... Dun, 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 dun.
I'll edit that out and put the real music in.
Okay.
All right.
What do you say we move on to TV corner?
Yes, let's go on to TV corner.
Dun, 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 dun,
oh, can we keep that as a theme song? All right. How about, Mike, you introduce the TV corner.
TV corner, climb on board. That was like the Great Space Coaster.
Oh, I remember
Space
it.
Coaster.
Is that the one with Gary Gnu?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Tammy didn't know who Gary Gnu was. I said no Gnu is good Gnu. No Gnu is good Gnu, and she didn't
with
know
Gary
what that.
Gnu.
Yeah. And TV corner. Cha.
and a giant turkey with your face on it's going to swing down and bonk you in the head.
Was that on there?
That was Gary Gnu. You'd say
oh,
yeah.
Stupid,
the
yes.
thing come down and hit him.
Yes.
All right.
Now let's move on to our TV corner of the week, Firefly. I got nothing.
You got nothing? Oh, is it my turn?
If you want. Last time I did an REM song and then they broke up, so I don't want to jinx anybody else.
You can make the sky for me. I don't even know the words for that.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I'll never stand. That's not right. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me.
There you go.
There's an extra on either the box set. It's got to be the box set.
Yeah, where Joss Whedon singing.
And it's terrible.
It's awful. All right. Well, that may be a good time to pause. So I think now is a good time to turn to our TV corner.
All right.
All right.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. This is it, folks. We're just going to sing the theme song for 10 minutes. That'll be the rest of the show.
Boop. All right.
Good night. I don't know why I just started singing Crazy Train.
Is that
it's in a car commercial.
A car commercial.
Let's move on to TV Corner, and we'll try to keep it quick because it seems like we're running long for the second episode in a row.
Ba-ba-ba-da.
Wah. That's the losing music. We got to come up with something new. Okay. That's enough of that. My name is Michael M. Patty. I have 2 bachelor's degrees in English and film and digital media. I am eminently qualified to be co-host of this podcast, and I am a member of American Mensa, which means I have a card saying I'm smarter than all of you.
Yes, you definitely are. You're smarter. You're smarter than me.
Can we start again?
We can edit that out. That's fine.
All right.
Is this going to be another stand-up fight, sir, or just another bug hunt?
I'm going to sit here and fight you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's from the movie.
Yeah, that's from Aliens. Sorry,
I just got that. Sorry. Let's edit this out too.
Yeah.
Odin is his father because his biological didn't bother.
Yeah. So we won't go
edit
into
the Shaq reference out, please.
Yeah. Yeah. The like we don't agree so much with Brett Ratner's interpretation. I've kind of mentioned.
Wait. Not Brett Ratner.
Brett Ratner. No, who'd I say?
You said Brett Ratner.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Brian Singer.
I wish Brett Ratner had.
It might have been better.
Yeah. But, I don't know where I was going with that. See, this is why you need to prepare for your podcast.
Yes. All right. Let's find a good place that the imagery and give me a second. I'll think of it.
That is very okay. Cut. What's the name of the guy who wrote The Prince? Author. The thing that comes to my mind, it's not Merovingian, because that's from The Matrix.
I'm on it, hold on. Niccolo Machiavelli.
Oh, yes. Even though it takes place so far in the future, people are still people, and...
This is why you don't drink pop into a podcast. It's a neat twist on how... but where was I going with this?
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
You're lost. Yes. Lost in the southern regions of Arrakis.
Having tea in the Sahara.
So Sting at the end of this movie is the only thing that's standing in the way of Paul Atreides' complete domination of the galaxy. And, you know, but standing against Fade and Sting, or Fade played by Sting, is like all the prophecy. And it's very interesting because
it all comes down to this.
It all comes down. That's my turn. So,
stop it.
No, I had some profound thought. It was going to make the show.
Something's got to. All right.
Okay. And he's very much a military leader the way Muhammad was. And, I gotta stop saying Muhammad like I'm a character on The Simpsons.
Do you want to talk at all about the spice and the control of spice and the acquisition of spice and how it relates to what we've previously discussed about if you don't have religion or faith, how it ends up just leading to a quest to acquire things?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Valid point.
Because we're at 30 minutes right now.
And half of that is us giggling.
Too much grape soda.
That's completely irrelevant. Please take that out.
Our society today, our pluralistic society today, where...
Oh, Lord, the show's coming off the rails again.
Yeah, but...
There's...
I thought at the end of this movie, and we hope that all our listeners have seen this movie, because there's going to be spoilers to follow.
Why are you listening if you haven't seen this movie?
So, spoilers...
Don't. That's a Doctor Who reference. Tells all the companions not to do.
Okay, we'll cut that out. But sister
Meryl Streep.
Aloysius.
Aloysius, yeah, Sister Aloysius Bouvier. What a name. That Sister Aloysius had accused him of. Amy Adams' character.
It wasn't Sister Steve. That was Father Dowling.
It was. I mean,
it was a boy's name.
Yeah.
Sister James.
Yeah. Amy Adams' character.
I got it up. Hold on.
Yeah. Here's another. Here's
Sister
another.
James. It was,
yeah.
Sister James.
Yeah. It's another outtake. You know, Amy Adams' character, and it's sort of a, that's the word I want to use. Where's my dictionary? I need more.
It's,
grape soda.
It's interesting because
it's a validation. Yes, we are all very sad that, you know, REM has broken up and we won't be losing any more religion. It's very sad. Sorry, that.
This is turning into the Dune show again.
Yeah.
Fast.
But
let's see. I liked it better than I thought I did. I thought I nah. And then I'd like to quote George Harrison, who did say, "All things must pass."
No,
at some point.
He was. I don't know what he was. He wasn't Buddhist. He studied under a Hindu Krishna.
He was like a tasty Eastern religion salad blend.
Yeah. So, well, we apologize to any Beatles fans we've just offended.
That was his solo work.
Yeah. But, you know, hey, that, you know, it's gonna take time, a whole
lot of precious time.
Yeah. It's going to take plenty of time.
And patience and time.
To do it right.
Which we did not. I'm sorry. Do you want to try that again?
I did not know that. Hey, we all learned something today. So
I didn't.
Godzilla. I was going to say, try and say it the Japanese version.
This is not Kaiju Cast, dude. Just say it.
All right, well, let me start again.
I got to join this guy's cult. That statement was pointless.
We see. I don't want to mention this, but I think I'm gonna another movie. I don't want to talk about it.
What?
Go ahead. The Da Vinci Code.
No, don't talk about the Da Vinci Code.
Where they talk about the Grail that caught the blood of Jesus was actually Mary's womb. You know, Mary Magdalene's womb. That's just...
the Da Vinci Code has as much to do with religion as a McDonald's cheeseburger has to do with a steak. Yeah, it's both beef. I'm much more on ridiculing a group of people who all believe the same crazy thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm the other way. I'll make fun of the individual.
Then between us, we have consensus.
There we go. We have something about another, the actual birth of Jesus.
Another along with who, Robert? Sorry. Sorry.
I don't like Santa Claus.
There's nothing wrong with Santa Claus.
I don't like Santa Claus. I have the pictures to prove it. When I was 3 years old, my mom took me to see Santa. She sat me on his lap, and I was so angry that I had to sit on that man's lap that I wet myself.
You know he forgives you, right?
Maybe.
I'm sure he does.
I have to go back and find that Santa and said, "I'm sorry I peed on you, Santa." I don't think that's going to make the cut.
Yeah, the whole thing about the mythological go.
But
where were we?
But yeah, this is the... We have something about
another,
the actual birth of Jesus.
Another along with who, Robert? Sorry. Sorry. I was kind of bummed out by the bailout. You know, I think that's just feeding money to corporations that don't need it. And anyway, this can get cut. That has nothing to do with the podcast.
But, and...
Yeah. I have no comment. I have been struck dumb.
This shell of ice kept the sunshine from refracting and creating rainbows. What do you think about that, Mike?
Was there an admission for this museum?
Yes, it was $8.
Have I been saying colonists? I meant colonials. I am so sorry. I've been saying the wrong phrase this whole time. I have watched the show. I've watched every episode twice, so...
But anyways,
if I can get off on a tangent here. Robert's phone is ringing. There was a 2-minute staging of the Pieta as that he was taken down from the cross. From the cross.
Say that again. Pietà. He didn't know as much as, you know, the Rick gang did. About
the Grimes gang.
The Grimes gang, sorry. And in our TV corner, we're going to be talking about...
the 1978 classic Blade Runner with... Oh, I'm sorry.
We're going to be talking about Battlestar Galactica. Let me try that again.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking... La, 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 la. And in our TV corner, we're going to be... I've lost the ability to speak the English language. How about Espanol? In la corner de televisión... está hablando sobre la historia Battlestar Galactica.
Parlez-vous français?
Well, any final thoughts on Paul?
No.
Any final thoughts on the X-Files?
No. I'm certain it was a sincere film from Mel Gibson's heart, that he really wanted to make this the way he wanted to make it, and I'm sure he succeeded in that, but I can't see past the ridiculousness and the poor technical aspects and the cheesiness, and I want to start over.
Okay. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, that's not making the edit.
All right, well, I think that wraps up this episode of Checking Gate Podcast.
Or Checking the Gate.
Did I run it again? Blah, blah, blah. And I think I'll record all the boring blah, blah, blah stuff later. Listen to us on this podcast, on this website.
Okay.
At this thing. Blah, blah, blah. I'll add that in later.
Okay.
And follow us on the Twitter at Checking the Gate Pod. And follow us on the Twitter at ctgpodcast.com.
And
no, that's not right. It's at ctgpodcast.
Yeah.
Damn it.
One more time.
And follow us on the Twitter at ctgpodcast.
So, I'll cut and paste from a previous episode the blah 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 stuff.
That's the way to do it. That's what they did with the Star Wars main title. They stopped recording it and just used it over and over again.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
Okay, so until next time, you could download blotty, 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 blah. Cut that in later.
Lazy bones.
I am. I just cut and paste that stuff now, man. So for next time, what are we going to do next time? We'll let Mike pick the movie for that we're going to do next time. Pick a movie, any movie.
Highlander 3: The Final Dimension. We'll explore the Buddhism at the beginning of it, and McCloud's spirituality, and how a race of immortals negates the possibility of there being an actual heaven if you can't get to it.
We're going to have to do an outtake because that was brilliant. Yeah. We're going to have to do an outtake show. I'm going to save all these clips. That was awesome. Until next time, this is Robert saying keep the faith, and
Mike saying keep listening.
You always say peace out.
Peace out.
I didn't know that was going to be a thing.
That's your thing now.
And this is Mike saying peace out.
We made it.
Thank God that's over.
47 minutes.
We are at an hour and 15
minutes. Oh my, an hour and 15? Is that it? That felt like 2 hours.
That was fun.
Oh my God.
Are you adding to the outtakes live there?
What was I saying? Okay, so hopefully you enjoyed our tongue twisters, and
hopefully you've stopped laughing at our
ineptitude.
Yes. My singing.
Yes. Hopefully you're not scared away from listening to us in the future. Because we got some cool stuff planned. Before we did things, sort of month to month, but we kind of have things planned out for the next year or so.
I don't know if there are any recorded, but frequently Robert would say, "What do you want to do next month?"
To celebrate Prometheus coming out, we're going to watch another Ridley Scott movie, Kingdom of Heaven, which is about the Crusades. And
instead of TV Corner, we're going to run the deleted scenes.
Yeah, because there's quite a bit of conversation there, and we'll set those up. And there's some more of our choice thoughts. So until next time, you could send us an email at ctgpodcast@yahoo.com. You could follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/CGGpodcast.
Or follow me on Twitter at Michael M. Patty, all one word, MichaelMPatti.
And we updated the Facebook page as well. Go to facebook.com/CTGpodcast and check that out. And our newly, slightly redesigned website's got some more widgets and stuff on there. Check it out at www.ctgpodcast.com. So until next time, this is Robert saying keep the faith.
And this is Mike saying peace out.